Welcome to Psychic Cowgirl Radio with Shannon Lackman. Practical, insightful conversations to empower and inspire you on your personal journey. From her cattle ranch in Alberta, this sassy psychic cowgirl uses her connections to universal energies to guide you to greater awareness and wisdom.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. This is Shannon, and I am absolutely delighted that Virginia is here with us today. Yay! Hey, Virginia.
Hi, Shannon. How are you?
Good. This is going to feel like, you know, old home week when we, from when we were doing the show together before. It'll be fun.
Yes.
So, when I was picking topics for the show, because I usually do it a couple weeks in advance. I don't always get it posted onto the show page, or sometimes a month in advance. And what will happen sometimes is I'll pick a topic, I'll write it all up, I'll set it to go on the next week, and something will shift and change, and I'll have to change it and put it a week later or 2 weeks later. Mm-hmm. This was one of those topics, because it actually, I came up with this topic on a drive home, a couple-hour drive home, and when I had a flat tire and I had to sit and ponder about some things, I came up with this topic. And so I was good. That was like April 12th, and I was going to do it right away, but it didn't work out, and I know why, because doing it today meant Virginia could join me.
And when we're together, we always bring a little juiciness and fun.
It's true. Sassy. We're sassy.
Very sassy.
So energetically high maintenance. Yeah, that was fun. I know, right? This is a heavier topic.
It is.
So when the reason I came up with this is after that amazing retreat that I did, and I talk about it a lot because it was so freaking good, you know, a lot of the women there felt judged in ways, as we all do, as moms, as, mm-hmm. you know, jobs, partners, all the ways that we feel judged. But really, it's us judging ourselves a lot of the time. But then I was thinking in my life when, I mean, because right now I'm living in this amazing little bubble. I worked yes. hard to get in here, and it's, you know, still crunchy sometimes. But I'm kind of in a bubble right now because I've made peace with a lot of stuff. But I was thinking back over my life, the times when I felt like, wow, I really, really am not liking this. And I was thinking about what was going on, and of course, my first marriage always pops up, and how energetically high maintenance that relationship was. And I thought, wow. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, high maintenance usually refers to, you know, the women. It always refers to women, it seems. And the ones that like to get their lashes done, me, the ones that get their nails done and go for, you know, self-care, and they can be considered high maintenance.
True.
What do you think about that?
I agree with you to an extent. I don't think there's anything wrong with self-care and making yourself feel good and, you know, getting lashes done or getting your nails done or going tanning or whatever it is that, you know, having your hair done every 6 weeks or what have you. I think it's when it becomes kind of obsessive that it becomes
yes.
high maintenance. But I think everyone should do some form of self-care. So if it's you're only getting your hair done every 6 weeks or you're only getting your lashes and your nails done however often – then that's one thing. But when it's the hair, the nails, the clothes, the shoes, the purses, the shopping, the tanning, the lashes, the makeup, the, you know, and it's like, oh, my gosh, do you ever stop? Do you think you're a little overboard maybe? That's where I consider it. I mean.
Yes. Like the Real Housewives of wherever.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Because as women, though, don't we tend to not do things like this for ourselves because we don't want to be high maintenance? But we
right.
need to turn that around. Anyway, so that's where my thought processes went, and then I was thinking, what about energetically high-maintenance relationships?
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, like you just explained about how it's good to have self-care, but it can go overboard and become obsessive.
Yes.
So what if we relate that to energetically high-maintenance relationships? So in my case, when I was married to my first husband, and, you know, as we all know, but I'm going to remind you all, it doesn't make the other person in this story bad. He's not a bad guy. He's actually a really good guy. Him and I just didn't line up after a while, and it got bad. It created an energetically high-maintenance relationship where I always felt like I wasn't good enough or I couldn't do enough, and he always felt, because of self-esteem issues and confidence issues, that he had to kind of, you know, put me down in order to make himself feel better, because if I was feeling bad and he was feeling bad, it was okay.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes. Because misery loves company, so.
Yes.
Yeah.
True, right? And so when I was thinking about all of that, and I was thinking of how drained I felt all the time, well, no. The first couple of years were good, but we were in crisis the first couple of years, the way our life was.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were really good when things were in crisis. We rocked it. When things are supposed to get easier and we're supposed to find some peace in our life, that's when we didn't rock it. Because I wanted to follow dreams, and he wasn't sure. And anyways, it was, you know, a very energetically high-maintenance relationship for the last 2 years before I left. And so I always, you know, have that as my frame of reference. When I'm dealing with someone and they make me feel like that, I know I have to do something or change something, even if it's just putting up boundaries.
Yeah. And I think you hit something, like, perfectly on the head in saying that when you're in an energetically high-maintenance relationship, it doesn't mean that the other person is a bad person. You're just not in alignment with them at that moment. And so then it becomes energetically high maintenance for you to where, and I was going to say what you said, of just feeling drained and feeling like you, it's exhausting almost to be involved in a situation like this.
It is exhausting, very much so. So as we think about all of this, I want you all to think about the people in your life. And so I'm going to throw this to Virginia. If I asked you for some tips on how to tell if a relationship is energetically high maintenance, what are some of the things that pop in?
Well, going with the feeling drained or exhausted after having an encounter with this with another person. Let me think. I just had something and it just left my brain. it's a feeling of, if they're calling and you see their number on your phone or your caller ID or what have you, you get a sense of like it's, instead of being happy and, it's this person, you know, or they text you or they send you a message on Facebook or however it is that they're reaching out to you. If you feel, instead of, then that's the sign that, you know, this is a little energetically high maintenance. If you are out in public and you see them and you want to turn the other direction and pray that they don't see you, that's a good sign. Little energetically high maintenance, because maybe you don't have the time to stand there and spend 20 minutes just hearing about their life, and you're going to walk away and be completely drained when you leave that conversation. What about you, Shannon?
Well, like you, after an interaction, you can just feel tired.
Mm-hmm.
You can feel, you know, all those energies of self-doubt. Someone who is energetically high maintenance can make you feel like they're yelling at you all the time, even if they're just
mm-hmm.
speaking. They can be bossy. They can feel that it's their right or their privilege, whatever you want to call it, to tell you what to do all the time. Like, whoa back, people. Whoa back. That's a boss to me.
Yes.
Because that's another thing, right? It can make you feel like a child. It can trigger
mm-hmm.
that energy in you of wanting to fight back, wanting to
yes.
get your point across, wanting to say, bite me. But, you know, really, I always find that the first thing I'll say, okay, what is going on with me? Like, okay, why am I getting
yeah.
irritated at this person? Why do I want to slap them? Why? Do I feel, you know, like they're attacking me in some way? Do I feel like, are they hitting my insecurities? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we're full of self-doubt. We are trained to have self-doubt from a young age. And
mm-hmm.
so sometimes, you know, that can be triggered, and it's triggering something in you. So this, you know, really does give you an opportunity to look at yourself and to decide, you know, where you want to go from there.
Right. And if you have any healthy boundaries set up for yourself, or if you need to set some up, and I think that was a great point that you made of checking in with yourself, because sometimes the things that are being triggered in you are aspects about yourself that you don't maybe want to acknowledge. So that's why it's really important to check in with yourself. And am I being triggered right now because I'm bossy?
Right.
You know, is it? Right.
Because sometimes the answer is yes. Right?
And I can own that.
Sometimes I just don't like to be told what to do, so back off.
Right. But that's so true, though, because when someone is stepping in, and even if they have your best interest in mind, someone who's energetically high maintenance, this could be one of your best friends in the world, but when they jump in and start telling you what you should and shouldn't do with your life or your relationship or your money or whatever, they're taking away your right to live your life the way you feel works for you. And
yes.
they're forgetting that they would not allow somebody else to do that to them. So why is it okay for them to do that to you? And that's
Excellent.
Where a lot of times I get triggered and upset, because it's like, hold on a second. And like you said, back up for a minute. This is my life over here. That's your life over there. Get yours straightened, and then maybe you can offer some advice to me. But even then, if I didn't ask you for it, don't give it, because I didn't ask you.
That's true. And let's be, you know, realistic here. Sometimes we're the ones that are energetically high maintenance.
Yes. This
right?
is true.
Right? December. I was totally energetically high maintenance. I was. I was going through some insanely crazy stuff, and I had to deal with some things that I really wished I hadn't. And when I'm energetically high maintenance, it's in short spurts because I tend to hibernate instead. But
mm-hmm.
absolutely, I was. I needed help, and I didn't like some of the things I was told, you know?
Yeah.
That's when, you know, I mean, we all do it.
Yes.
The point is, it's not good or bad. It's just recognizing when maybe we are, And instead of looking outside ourselves for help and answers, look inside ourselves or take that time to be quiet and to figure out what's truly going on. Because being energetically high maintenance can also be a distraction.
Yes. And right? I think that's where it kicks in for me. Because I, like you, it'll go in little spurts, but I will feel it, and I will try to check in with myself and go within and figure out what's going on. And sometimes I can't because I'm just it just feels too much around me, like it's just bubbling up too much. And so I'll feel myself reaching out, Shannon, I need your help. And I'm not asking, how are you? What's going on in your life? It's just, Shannon, help me. And so I recognize that I'm being high maintenance in that moment. So when it passes, I try to make up for it. And I don't know that I always do the best job, but or at least apologize or, you know, be very grateful for the help or something. But I know that I kind of swoop in and, like, make a little bit of a mess in whoever's life that I can reach out to because I'm very needy in that moment. And then I get some clarity and some calmness, and then I come back, and it's like, hi, I'm really sorry that I just was a whirlwind. But thank you. So, and I recognize I do it, and I'm not proud of it. I'm not, you know, happy about it, but I'm aware of it.
That's the key, right? Because we are. Sometimes we need to be energetically high maintenance. It's not bad. The key that you spoke about, which is the most important, is that you recognize it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's when someone is always energetic, not always, or quite often energetically high maintenance, and there's not the reciprocity, that give and take.
Right.
So
right.
Because we are who we are, you can be energetically high maintenance with me, and I'll help you out. And then when it's my turn, you help me out.
right? So it works
That's
out.
That's different. Yeah.
Right.
So we enable each other and help each other out, and that is healthy. It's when someone is always needing your help. Okay, and how about this? So they want your help. They want you to guide them. They want you to give them advice. And then they don't always want to follow it.
Right.
It's okay. It's their choice. But then they might get mad at you.
Yes. Or
so say,
this is what
okay.
I... No, you finish. No, you finish.
Well, I was going to just give an example. Like, say you help someone with a business thing, and they take your advice, but they don't put their all into it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it doesn't go like they thought it should, and they blame you instead.
Like, yes. Yeah. Yes, and that's not your fault in any way.
I mean,
and it's not even that they didn't. Right, and it's not even that they didn't follow your advice and what you said, because it doesn't necessarily have to be a thing. It doesn't have to be, well, you didn't do what I said, but it's when you're not energetically putting enough of yourself into your business, then you're not going to get. It's again with that balance and. The, what's that big word you use, Shannon?
Reciprocity.
That word? when that, you're not going to get that in return when you're not giving, you know, yourself and your passion into your business.
Yes. Yes. So lucky for me, right now I don't have any energetically high maintenance people in my life. It's all really, really great. But I'm going to share a story because I had an energetically high-maintenance situation that I was so stressed about last week that I could barely think straight. So as you all that listen regularly know that for some reason I can grow cows, I can grow kids, I can grow cats. Dogs are a challenge. I don't know why, but we just don't have the best of luck with dogs.
Yes.
Now, our last dog left us, and it was devastating. It was in December. That was my high maintenance energy month because I was a mess. And we haven't had one since. And my husband and two boys are always kind of pressuring me to get a dog. And it's not that I don't want a dog. It's that I'm not over the other ones that left us or that we had to rehome. I'm totally not over it. And the reality of the situation is my family leaves. My kids go to school. My husband goes to work. I'm the one home who takes care of the animals.
Mm-hmm.
So not really ready because right now my schedule is really busy and I'm not home as much, or I'm busy with clients or doing classes and all the other things I have going on. So I don't have a lot of extra time. And
mm-hmm.
dogs are high maintenance. Let's face it.
Yes.
They are, right?
Yes.
Not like a cat. So, yeah. My husband found this dog on Kijiji. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to. I said, okay, if you are interested in this dog, you need to do the research and the due diligence, right? Because we have to ask certain questions, like, do they get out on the road? Like, do they like to run? How do they feel about cats? Do they chase cows? Because we could have them do that, but we need to make sure they're not too aggressive because we don't have enough cow work every day. And because we like the cattle dogs, right? And we like blue healers.
Right.
And so he's supposed to ask all these questions. You know where I'm going with this, don't you, people? He didn't. So the people didn't call back, and he's like, oh, that's too bad. And I said, you know what? I'm glad. I said, I don't think I'm ready. And so I'm really happy they didn't call back and the dog already found a new home. Yeah, that was Saturday. Sunday later afternoon, his phone rings.
Oh,
we're
no.
driving home from getting some bikes for the for me and the kids. And we can go see the dog, and it's only about, 30 minutes from our house. He's all excited. He writes down the directions, doesn't ask any questions. None. And so I'm quizzing him, and he says, well, I read the ad, and it ticked all the boxes. I'm sure of it. I said, did you? Are you sure? Well, yeah, I think so. Or you can just ask the questions. Yeah. He totally knows I'm throwing him under the bus for this, too, because I was not happy, to put it mildly. So, yeah. I made him stop at our local hardware store and bought myself a patio bistro set because I was pissed.
Yeah.
And I wanted one. I figured like it was a good time. So we go look at this dog. He's adorable.
Uh-huh.
He's friendly. He's happy. His circumstances were less than ideal, which broke my heart. He'd never been around cats. And he was supposedly 5 months old, but I'm not convinced that's how old he was because he didn't act like a puppy.
Oh.
And so my whole family is drooling and excited, and my husband looks at me and says, well, honey, it's up to you. Yeah. I glared at him. I gave him the nastiest look, and he still didn't clue in because he was on a mission. He wanted this dog.
Yeah.
So we get the dog, because I did feel bad for this dog, because from what they said, it sounded like this dog was just tied up all day long, every day in the middle of, he spent a better part of his day tied up in the middle of this cow pasture, and the people lived an hour away from that. So I wasn't thrilled, and I didn't think the dog deserved that kind of life, because he was a nice dog. So yes, he came home with us. I knew it wasn't going to work, but you know when you get to that point where you're just tired of having to make all the decisions?
Yes.
And you give someone else responsibility, and even though you know they probably didn't do it, you just want them to learn from their mistake instead of you having to fix it all the time?
Right.
Yeah. So this situation became very energetically high maintenance. So that was Sunday. Monday, I cried all day. Cried. I was a mess, because guess what? We get the dog home, first thing he does is he snaps at my big orange cat. So this dog would probably have killed my cats if I'd let him loose. So that means I can't take him out of his kennel unless he's on a leash. So I take him way out in the cow pasture, and then I let him run off leash, but I need him to be nowhere near the cat. And it's their cats. They're inside, they're outside. They've lived here for 7 years, the cats. Yeah, I can keep cats, just dogs. So for a whole week, I was mad because it just messed up my days because everybody else left.
Right.
I had to deal with this dog and make sure it didn't kill my cats. He's a bigger dog, and so he got away from my youngest son twice. And he would jerk on the leash as soon as he saw a cat. He wanted to race after them and get them. And he, like, would yank us. So all these things, and I'm, like, upset, right? It took so much energy. I was stressed for a whole week that I put him on Kijiji. I wanted to get what we paid for him. No one was biting. So the next day, I put him on Kijiji for free because I really just needed this dog to have a loving family and get away from my house so he doesn't kill my cats and I can be less stressed.
Right.
You know, like I say, only a couple cats away from crazy cat lady. My cats rule. I have no mice in my house. Although, this week, I did find a mouse body in my house because my cats were mad.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Actually, my mom found it, who's terrified of mice, of all the people, because she came to visit. I'm like, shoot. So I was so stressed and a mess. My whole family was stressed for the whole week. I had to explain to them that we couldn't keep the dog. It ended really great, though, because some people met us, and they absolutely were in love with the dog. Like, they could not stop grinning. They told me it was a dream come true. So I should have created some good karma there, taking a bit of a financial hit on a dog and giving him away for free. But I'm good with that. But I have to tell you, it was so stressful because so when something is energetically high maintenance, it sticks in your energy all the time.
Yes.
It's like carrying a backpack that you can't take off. Yeah.
Yes.
It's always there. I was always worried. In fact, I put extra closures on his kennel because he's a bigger dog, and I was worried he would just, like, kind of bump the latch and open it and get out and kill a cat. And I don't know that he would have killed them maliciously. He's just a big dog and didn't know what a cat was, and so probably wanted to pounce on it, right, and snapped at them. So,
yeah,
it felt like for that whole week, a heavy backpack, like a heavy burden, a heavy load. That's what energetically high maintenance feels like.
Mm-hmm.
You worry, you stress, you will start to get obsessive.
Yes, and you carry it with you everywhere. So even when you're not in the situation, when you're out at the store, when you're, you know, holding classes, when you're doing whatever it is you're doing, this is still going on in the back of your mind, and it's hard to be focused in the present moment, and it's hard to...
Yep.
Really notice what's going on around you because you're so consumed by the situation.
Mm-hmm. Now, this was an extreme example because I was really worried because of, you know, mental health. Like, so if the dog got away on my youngest and it killed his cat, like, you don't go back from that.
Right.
Right? So there was all these things
right.
that were going on. So this is an extreme example. But I can't tell you how glad I am it's over. When those people drove away with Panda and they were so happy and couldn't stop grinning, I seriously felt like I lost 20, 30, 40 pounds. It was only a week, seriously a week, and I gained weight. I wanted to let my house get extra cluttery because I was trying to energetically protect myself.
Yes. And that's a good way. I'm glad you mentioned those things because that's a great way to take that stuff back and recognize that you might be in an energetically high-maintenance relationship or situation because you're allowing the clutter or you're putting on a little extra weight and you don't understand why or you're hibernating a little bit more or you're feeling a little
cranky.
More needy or cranky is a good word. Yes. And I think what's hard for us meaning you and I and anyone else who's like us, people who are empathic and intuitive, we can tune into this a little bit better on people who are in our lives who are high maintenance, because we feel it almost immediately, or we know that they're being dishonest in some way or not forthright with us or something. We just know there's something going on with that, with the other person, and then that makes it yes. harder, because oftentimes, especially if it's in a group setting, we may be the only one who feels it and sees it and recognizes it, and the other people don't just yet. And
yep.
so then it becomes even harder, because now we have to navigate all of this, because we can't just blurt out whatever's going on with this person. You know, the other people have to learn it on their
right.
own. Yeah. And so it becomes, it becomes a task.
It does become a task, because you're always kind of biting your tongue a little bit, because
yeah.
it's really easy, because we're empathic and we know stuff, and I know all of you listening are the same, even though sometimes you don't trust yourself. You just want other people to realize what you realize, but you have to
yeah.
let them figure it out themselves. I will say this, though, in April, a lot of that came to the surface. I felt relieved that some people showed their true
colors,
personalities, true colors, and other people could see it as plainly as I could, because before that happens, you are labeled the bitch.
Yes. Yep.
Or judgy. Now,
mm-hmm.
judgment. I'm on board with let's not judge people unfairly. But right now, I'm just seeing a lot of people throwing that word judgment around as an excuse
mm-hmm.
for bad behavior.
Yes.
Oh, don't judge me. Who are you to judge me? Well, you're being an ass. I can judge you for that.
You're not emotionally charged about it or anything, are you, Shannon?
No, not at all. Like, really, people? It frustrates me, because it takes away from the good work people are doing, because it gives them an excuse,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It takes away their accountability. Oh, you're just judging me. Are you being an ass? Like, seriously.
Right. That's what go back to the beginning of the show when we talked about taking that step back and, you know, looking within and seeing, you know, how you might be contributing to the situation.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, that's important.
I can't tell you how often I bite my tongue. It's a lot. And why I don't drink. Filter leads. I will tell you, you're
yeah.
being an ass.
Shannon has no filter when she drinks. I got
but, you know,
to witness this myself.
Hey, but I was awesome.
No, you were. You were. You know, Shannon's funny. Shannon and I both are pretty upfront and pretty forthright in our thoughts and our feelings. And even in sessions, we will, you know, we don't really sugarcoat. We just lay it out there. This is
no.
what's going on. And if that's not direct enough when Shannon's drinking.
Okay, we have to tell
the
story because it was funny.
Well, we'll put
okay,
it
well,
this
I'll,
way.
Well, I'll tell it briefly. I'll throw you under the bus. When I was in Toronto for the conference and for my, you know, fun girls weekend, my girlfriend and I were in the lounge, and Virginia had a little situation, and I was helping her with it, and then I told her, by the way, if I don't make sense, it's because I'm having some cocktails, and she started laughing over the text because I was still very insightful. I didn't know if my selling might not be perfect, but I was still insightful.
She was, and she gave me a lot of clarity, and it was extremely direct in a way that, like, I couldn't skirt around it in any way, shape, or form. It was literally like a slap in the face with, really?
Yeah, I was way more direct than I might have been if I wasn't enjoying some cocktails and some scenery.
Right,
and
right.
I was like, oh, Virginia, let's just get to the point here. Here's the scoop. And Virginia's like, oh. And then I said, by the way, I'm drinking. Just so you don't feel offended or anything.
No, but it was a directness that I've never seen before. And it was exactly what I needed in that time. And that's what made it even funnier. And it made me realize how ridiculous I was being, or in my thought process. But I was in a highly energetic situation, and I needed help.
You were
being needy.
Yes. It was a very high maintenance, energetically situation. Absolutely. And see, that's the scoop, right? You just get caught up in it, and you might not always see it. That's when you need to have good friends that can say to you, really, Shannon? Right? Even
right.
You don't have to always be drinking, but you can.
The delivery is much better if Shannon is.
Oh, it's so hilarious because then Virginia sent me this message, you're freaking awesome, even drunk. So, of course, we're laughing, my girlfriend and I, in this lounge, and people are looking at us wanting to know what we're laughing at, and, well, can't tell you.
Right. How do you tell them?
You don't.
So let me ask you this, because you said in April a lot of things came to the surface and a lot of people's true colors and agendas were shown, which I experienced the same thing. So how do you feel about May? Are we going into some more highly energetically charged situations, or are we finally taking that deep breath and calming down a little?
Okay, well, those of us that are working on ourselves and just, you know, even becoming aware of when we're energetically high maintenance or when we're emotionally charged, we're going to continue with that, right?
Okay.
But here's what we're going to notice, and I ended up having a conversation about that this morning with someone. People who are not really willing to work on themselves, they may say they are, but they're really not, or they're not, you know, understanding kind of some of the depths of working on yourself. Here's what's going to happen with that. And so in this situations, we really take an observer role. You're going to see people attacking each other. Seriously,
wow.
I just saw some on Twitter this morning. They were attacking a beautiful singer over the outfit she chose to wear.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, really? Is that necessary? Apparently, they thought so. And someone else messaged me this morning and said, holy hay crops, why are people attacking? Like, someone just put this, you know, post on Facebook, and then they got attacked for it, and it was really no need. And so I'm going to tell you what I said to her, because I went and tuned in to get an answer, because I feel a lot of this is going to happen. So 2014 is transformation and integrity are the two key energies I felt were important. And transformation is going to happen whether people like it or not. And what's happening right now is they're choosing the not. They're not handling it gracefully. And instead of taking that step back like Virginia talked about with, they're just attacking because they're feeling crunchy, upset, angry about seeing their own shadow sides, and instead of going, oh, I do that, oh yeah, okay, I am energetically high maintenance, oh yeah, I am kind of bitchy when I feel like people are misusing the word judging, huh, instead of doing that, they're lashing out.
Right, they're like going on the defense and
Completely on the defense, right? So my message to her was, I feel it is the transformation energies and people are not handling it gracefully. They're pissy that the universe is trying to show them their shadow sides and it makes them angry. So they're lashing out at others to try to make themselves feel superior. And instead of just surrendering to this transformation, because I wish they knew that if they surrendered to it, looked at themselves, I mean, it is uncomfortable, absolutely. I mean, this last week for me was uncomfortable because I saw parts of myself that, I mean, I'm aware they're there, but I had to, like, be in it and be messy about it, and I didn't like it, but I did it. I cried a lot because I just had to surrender to the situation and look at myself and use it as a growth opportunity rather than a, you know, an anger opportunity.
Right.
That we're going to see more of. And so for us, try to really pick and choose your battles. Because if you
That was a good point. Sorry.
Yeah. You have to
just
really pick and choose your battles. Some of them, you just have to observe. And so my suggestion is to do the Ho'oponopono prayer to the situation or the people, or the Buddhist prayer of kindness, which are both on my website, simply just saying, may you be safe, may you be happy, may you be healthy, may you live life with ease. You're directing energy, but you're not engaging publicly because I don't think you can, I don't think you could ever get your point across because, like you said, emotionally triggered like I am about the judging thing right now. You couldn't convince me right now that these people are using the word judging in a proper way. All the ladies at the retreat did. Some of the stuff I've seen on social media, no, they're not. They're using it as an excuse for bad behavior, and you're not supposed to judge them for it.
Mm-hmm.
Really.
And I'm also seeing a lot of... In addition to the, like, jumping to the defense and the lashing out type of thing, I'm feeling a lot of competitive energy, but so unnecessarily. Yeah. And it's not, I'm not seeing it from everywhere, but I am noticing it a lot more right now. And I don't know. I don't get it.
I'm so glad you brought that up because I'm feeling that too, and I'm like, what is going on with this?
Right.
Hmm. But you know what? Don't you feel it's going back to that transformation thing and people are struggling with it? They don't understand what's going on. They don't understand that it's a process and it won't last forever.
Right.
Like, my really bad days was probably only a day and a half. Like, the rest of my week, it was, you know, harsh and hard, but it was, like, I could be happy and all of that. I was really angry for a short time and, like, totally messed up with it where I had to surrender to it and just say, okay, help me. I did a lot of praying.
Yeah. That always helps.
Because I needed help. Because I was really upset. Because there's more to it than that, right? Of course I'm upset at my husband because I told him I wasn't ready and I didn't want a dog and I was happy they didn't call back and then he just jumps on it. So we had tough conversations about that. And then I'm mad because why do I... And then I had to fix it.
Which is
right?
Exactly what you were trying to prevent.
Exactly what I was trying to avoid. Way to go. Tried to avoid that and it got dumped on my lap. And see, it was a good lesson for me, right? I don't get to control everything.
Right.
Not my job. I just have to surrender to some of it, and I have to let my family sometimes figure things out. I did have to fix this, but I had to fix it because I was the one being most affected.
Right.
Yes. Optimal was my husband, when he took the phone call, said, I need to speak to my family about it. And we would have had, or he would have asked about the cats, because he was supposed to do that before
right.
we go. Because we like dogs. I mean, seriously, it's really hard to say no. And so if we
I
have
know.
All those out of the way first, then we're not even putting ourselves in that opportunity. So, yes, he did drop the ball, and yes, he had to admit to that and apologize for that. And then I was better.
And that's usually all it takes in any... high-maintenance, energetically high-maintenance situation. All it takes is the other person to recognize the high-maintenance they are bringing to the table or the the what like the muddled energy they're bringing and apologize for it, and then everything's fine.
Then everything's fine. Yep. Once just acknowledging. I mean, we do it, right? You and I both do it when we're working in that energy of being high maintenance and we turn to each other for help. We always say, "Oh, I'm so sorry. Sorry, thanks for letting me vent." Sorry. That's what you do, right?
Yes. Yes.
And then the other person's like, "Okay, good." Cuz there are the people that love to be the victim. Right?
And dump on.
Mhm. And dump. And those are the people you want to kind of scale back in your life, because at a certain point, you have to realize that they do not wish to change. So helping them, right?
Mm-hmm. And that is very hard, again, for people like us who like to fix and like to help and like to just make everything pretty and better. It's hard because you have to recognize that you can't help them. They have to figure this out on their own, and you have to take that step back, and regardless of how much you care or don't care about them.
Yep. Because isn't it true that what we really wish is people could see themselves the way we see them?
Yes. That is always my wish.
Mm-hmm.
Like the good and the bad. And I even wish that for myself, you know, not just other people.
It's true. It's true. And so, you know, this journey, it's not, you know, for you to, like, beat yourself up over, oh, man, I wish this wasn't happening, or I just wish I couldn't, we all get stuck.
Right, or I'm such a terrible person, and I can't do anything right. And it's not about beating yourself up. It's just recognizing it and then changing it if you wish.
If you wish, or leveraging it.
I leverage
my business. I use it when appropriate.
Yes.
And I'll admit to that. I don't pretend to be peace, love, joy, bliss, sugar, and lollipops. And anybody that thinks I am has never met me, because I'm not. I'm way sassier than that, because seriously, we're here to learn, to experience, to grow. If it was peace, love, bliss all the time, we would be bored and we would create havoc. I know, I can feel it. Oh, she said that, but she's a reverend. She shouldn't say that. That's your interpretation of a reverend, not mine.
Exactly. I get the same thing.
Exactly. I know you know what I'm talking about, because Virginia's a reverend too.
Especially with my language.
Especially when that potty mouth shows up.
Yes.
Oh, sometimes pasture words are the best.
But I will say this. The potty mouth doesn't show up when I'm in reverend mode. Like when I'm serving in that capacity, I'm very poised and put together.
Yes. I don't use the F-bomb during a wedding ceremony.
Right. But at a family party, I can't promise anything.
Yeah. And, you know, we're just, all of us are in the same space. We are really just trying to figure this out. And we're going to make mistakes, but they're not really mistakes. They're learning.
Right.
But, you know, like, I keep telling everybody, transformation is happening in 2014, whether you like it or not. And so when things get crunchy, one of the ways I try to figure out what to do next is, because integrity is another big word for 2014, if you're acting from your own integrity, no matter what that looks like to you, and don't go by someone else's version of integrity, go by your own, it's a firm foundation. And as long as you're acting from your own integrity, you really can't screw it up. And it doesn't mean that you're not going to get pissy. It doesn't mean that you're not going to be cranky and yell and do all that. But you're doing it from a space of knowing and doing it because you choose to.
Right. And it's coming from a space of, like, stability and, and of being, like you said, that solid foundation. And I have to stress this again. It has to be your own integrity, not someone else's.
Mm-hmm.
You can't try and adopt or copy someone else's ideals of integrity. They have to be your own.
They have to be your own, yep.
Because your integrity is what builds your foundation. If you borrow
mm-hmm.
someone else's, you don't have a foundation.
Exactly. Well put. And quit worrying about what other people think. Just always act from your own integrity. And let's just go here. Online, don't believe everything you perceive.
Yes.
Some people, and Virginia and I have talked about this, because online can make you feel so much less than.
Mm-hmm.
Because you go online and you see people saying these things and you think, oh, they just have such a better life than me. Wow, they must really be successful. So in my research, because I happen to be good at this, and I'm doing an MBA, so I'm doing a lot of business stuff research, I can't tell you how much of it is fake.
Mm-hmm.
75% fake. Because either if they have big following, it's because they bought them. If they
mm-hmm.
say they have, you know, on their website say they have, join my newsletter list of 25,000 people, they're probably lying.
Mm-hmm.
Because they can, right? It's a marketing thing. It's a presentation. And it doesn't mean it's wrong because it's acceptable business practices. But we're in a time of transformation and changing. And if you build your business or just your life from your own foundation of integrity, you won't worry about all of that.
Right.
Because guess what? People that are
matter.
On... Right. Because let's be real. People that are online constantly, how do they have that kind of time? I don't.
I don't.
Right? I mean, every morning I'm on Facebook and I do my daily Oracle card and I'll do some Twitter. And if during the day I have a moment, I do leave my computer on and I check for messages because I do a lot of business through Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not online posting and researching every day, all day long, because I don't have that kind of time.
Right.
And I guess this is just coming up because there's just, I don't know, a lot of stuff going on, and we need to cut through what's not true so that we know what can be true for ourselves. Did that make sense?
Yes. To me, it did.
Good. Just figure out who you are and what you stand for, right?
Mhm. And don't waver on it. Don't be wishy-washy. You know, if the wind blows east, don't turn your direction and say you stand for this. And then when the wind blows west, turn your direction again and say you stand for that. You know,
right.
Figure out what it is that you want to represent as a person, as a business, whatever it is, and stay true to that.
Mhm. Because the bottom line is, we're all really good people. We're just
yeah.
taught to think we aren't. And that is not true.
I completely agree.
Even the people that do crazy stuff that you think, what are you thinking? They're probably coming from a wounded place. And if they could
yeah.
heal those wounds and let go of those wounds, they would be who they want to be.
Absolutely. But that goes back to the looking within and recognizing the aspects about yourself.
Yes. So if one of these days I'm going to have a high, energetically high maintenance day, and I'm going to put on my page that I'm an energetically high maintenance person today. Virginia, help me. Asking for prayers. I'm feeling kind of energetically high maintenance today. Because it's going to happen to all of us. Don't, you know, when it happens to you and you're in that energy, deal with it. Surrender to it. Figure it out. Valuable lessons. Don't be mad at yourself because you blew up at somebody. I mean, if it's a chronic thing and you're doing it every day, then yes, you might want to look at some anger management help. But when it's, you know, stuff happening. And when you come across those people in your life that are energetically high maintenance and you're getting tired of it, let yourself off the hook for that too. Let them go.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be their rescuer.
No.
And I say
because
that
you need
to do it.
Yeah. You need your own sanity and your own peace of mind. And you can't have that if you are constantly dealing with someone who is draining, who you feel that you can't trust on some level,
right.
Who is very needy. You know, if it's like, if you're getting a text message, a Facebook message, and an email from the same person all within 5 minutes, you might be dealing with an energetically high-maintenance person, you know?
Good point. Well, and here's the bottom line. You can help them all you want while you're enjoying doing it and feeling, you know, that you're needed, but there always comes a point where they get mad at you and don't want your help anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Or you start to realize that they are just draining you and you don't have that kind of time. Like I said, in December, when I was going through some pretty crazy stuff and I withdrew, I lost some friends over it. Now, it's been a few months. In hindsight, I can see that the friendship wasn't on the terms of friendship a healthy friendship is on, right? And it was
mm-hmm.
absolutely for the best. Speaking of for the best, I don't know if this happened to any of you, but my Facebook, and I don't know what the heck, it randomly unfollowed people? Or did it?
I don't know.
Virginia and I were talking about this because I'm like, I've had this happen to me before where it will do this, and I'm like, what? And I always think the other person unfollowed or unfriended me, and I'm like, okay, well, you know, something's going on with you, because it will happen to me when people don't want me to know what they're up to.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently it was brought to my attention that something was going on with Facebook, and the weirdest thing is I was having dreams every night for a week that someone was energetically messing with me, and then all of a sudden a lot of people were gone from my Facebook page, and I had someone message me saying, hey, what did I do? And I'm like, what?
What do you mean? Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. And it's awkward because then I ran into somebody and I didn't know if I unfollowed them, they unfollowed me, and they didn't make eye contact. And I'm like, awkward. I know, weird, right? Something strange is going on because then people couldn't get on my page. Weird. And then something strange happened when Virginia and I were talking about it yesterday. Right, Virginia? Things went weird on your page.
Yes, I was actually trying to share a link for the radio show on my business page, and I had it all typed out and a fun little blurb that I was saying with it, and I went to scroll down to so that I could hit post, and it kind of started to fade and literally disappeared off my screen, and I thought, did that just happen?
Yeah,
it was very, very strange.
So if you're listening to this show and I unfriended you on Facebook or you got deleted from my page, apparently that happened too, I'm not sure. I didn't do it. And I was being really sassy, too, saying April was the month that people's friends lists got smaller and Twitter feeds got smaller. And I was being really sassy and saying, I didn't unfriend or unfollow anybody, but I thought about it, wah-ha-ha-ha. And then I did it. Like, oh, my goodness. Awkward. Well, because, you know, it brought up all this stuff for me, like all these, because Facebook feels so personal. And it brought
to
up all
some
this
people,
stuff, like,
yes.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, it's totally personal for me.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. It's like, oh.
See, it's
not
for me.
Not on my friend list. Oh. Oh. I get over it right away, but I always wonder, did I do something? So if this happens to you people, I don't know what to tell you. You're not alone.
It might all be happening for the good.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Sometimes in my case, it's a higher power swooping in and cleaning up my stuff because I won't do it.
Yes.
That rescuer part of me, I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings until I don't care anymore and I do it. Right? A lot of duality going on in my life. I don't want to hurt your feelings, but if you push me over the edge and I really think you're irritating, I will.
It just takes you a little longer to get to that point. For me,
does.
I don't see it as personal and feel like I don't get offended or bothered if someone deletes me from Facebook or, and a lot of times I don't even notice that I'm not friends with them anymore on Facebook. I don't know.
See, look how healthy you are. I don't notice, and then I check later, and I find out because I want to send them a message, and then I'm like, oh, my God, I feel horrible. I wonder when they did that. I hope I didn't do anything to offend them. See, I always automatically blame myself first.
I just kind of giggle. I'll say, oh, we're not friends anymore. Oh, that's funny.
And I'm feeling all awkward and uncomfortable. Then I have to get over my own self. Not my
well,
job to take care of everybody in the whole entire wide world.
You're right, Shannon. It's not. It's only your job to take care of you.
It's my little self-esteem thing, right? Oh, no. Did I hurt somebody's feelings? Yeah. It's something I'm continually aware of and I work on because I will. I will do the opposite. And really, how healthy is that?
Yeah, not very healthy.
By the way, if you notice the lady's not talking in her ear anymore, it's because I added 30 minutes to our show because I wasn't sure if we were done.
Oh, I see.
We don't have to go for the whole 30 minutes, but that's why she's not going to yell at us.
Okay. Well, I actually do have to go because I have to go get ready to leave to go to the shop. I have to be there
that's
in an
great.
Hour. Yeah.
So tell everybody where you're going to be. Tell everybody how to find you because it's been a while.
It has. Well, I have my website, virginiablank.com. That's a good way to find me. I have my Facebook page. My business page is Virginia Blank Intuitive Healing. And then I'm at a couple of local shops in my neighborhood, and I'm in Illinois. So there's Witchy Wearables in Midlothian, and there's A Peaceful Path in Worth. Both in Illinois, where I'm offering intuitive sessions, and I have put together a buttload of classes that I facilitate at both places. So, yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I've been pretty busy.
You've been very busy. Well,
yes.
Thank you so much for coming on, Virginia. It's been a lot of good giggles and a lot of good information.
Yes, it's always good giggles when we're together.
It is. So, I know now I can't stop giggling. I want to wish everybody an excellent rest of the week. And we will, next week, Virginia, you need to listen. I have a guest, and he is really good at some very interesting things. And we chose past life regression to talk about. He wrote some books. Which is how I met him, because I read the first book, and I'm like, hey, I need the second book. In his books, he uses past life regression to help solve mysteries.
Ooh.
Yes. He's a very interesting man to talk to. Very interesting.
Sounds like
he's done lots of cool things. And so he's coming on next week, and we're going to talk about past life regression. And he does some other interesting things. So we're just going to let the conversation go where it goes. So, yes, tune in, people. It'll be good.
Sounds like
it. Bye. Thanks, Virginia.
Thanks for having me, Shannon. Bye.
You have been listening to Psychic Cowgirl Radio with Shannon Lackman. Practical, insightful conversations to empower you on your personal journey. For more information, to connect with Shannon directly, visit psychiccowgirl.com. That's psychiccowgirl.com.